And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome to episode number 85 of Revitalize and Replant. I am joined in the podcast studio with the host, the voice, Jonathan Howe, and I'm joined remotely in Richmond, Virginia by Amy Jordan, who is in our production studio there, and the team is here except for Mark Clifton.
Oh.
And he just sent you and me a text about something that's coming up.
Yeah, there's going to be a big gathering this fall in August. You're speaking at it, I believe, as well.
Yes, I'm looking at the speakers right now. I am one of the speakers.
You are one.
Yes.
How about that?
Oh, the guru.
Yes, Mike Harlan's going to be there
Harlan.
As well. And the Gettys, I think, are doing music. Is that right?
I think that's right. We'll say they are.
Or no, it's Andrew Peterson. That's who it was.
There it is. Andrew Peterson. And then you got Jared Wilson coming.
Yeah.
That could be a fun group.
Man, I would actually just go to that just because.
Just to hear.
But Jared's one of my favorites.
Well, Jared,
so are you. But
you hear me a lot.
Yeah, Jared's fantastic.
And then you get Mike Harlan there, the uh-huh. guru, the worship guru.
And Mark Clifton.
Wow.
And Andrew Peterson, which I'm a huge fan of.
I know, you're kind of a groupie.
This is like, did I plan this or did Mark plan this? Let me double check this. Mark planned my event.
Wow.
We'll link to that, so check that out as well. It's online now. They're having a spring one right now, and they've got the big one in the fall, so huge revitalization event at NAMM.
So I was just in a conversation representing Revitalize Network, our revitalization arm, that we have a partnership with the North American Mission Board. Sometimes you'll hear us say NAMM, that's the acronym for North American Mission Board. I was in a partnership with Virginia and talking about a conversation about a partnership. And it's so cool to see how God is continuing to use North American Mission Board, Mark Clifton, Revitalize Network, Church Answers, and different organizations like Idea Day. I'll talk to you a little more about that. The Virginia Convention. Yeah. So, Southern Baptist Convention of Virginia.
Yeah, Southern Baptist Conservatives of Virginia.
But I think they're going to start going by a shorter name in the future, according to Brian Autry. But
good.
We'll look at that. Because
they have a long one.
They do. But just so many things are going on. I love the fact that revitalization is becoming an issue at the forefront. I love the fact that church planting has been an issue at the forefront for some time, and now I love that we're looking at revitalization. And I've said many times, as long as God gives me a breath to breathe and not presuming upon his will for my life, this is where I am going to be involved, unless just he takes a radical turn, which he's done sometimes. And so this whole issue of revitalization is something we want to talk about. And today we want to do away with some of the misperceptions about revitalization. We'll look at six of the most common.
Yeah, we have six of them here. We're going to fly through these in about 20 minutes. And number one, it's only about dying churches.
The reason I was thinking about my conversation with Brian Autry in Virginia, he was talking about three groups of churches for revitalization. I think he told me they have 650 churches total, if I recall the number. Brian, if I got it wrong, I'm sorry, but I think it is that. And he categorized them into dying churches, really some really healthy ones, and then there was this huge middle area.
Yeah.
Where
just decline or plateaued or just
need a little push sometimes, maybe marginally healthy. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, that could be 400 or 500, and that's where he wanted us to partner with him.
That's usually the case. Is that you've got, 10% or maybe not even that. You have the small percent that are booming and going.
Right.
You have this small percent that's pretty much on life support.
Yep.
About to die.
Yep.
And you get this big middle.
Mm-hmm.
And most churches fit in that big middle.
I made this observation with Brian and one of his leaders in revitalization who was on the Zoom call. And what I said to him, I said, this is part of my dream for Revitalize Network, that once a church gets 5 years old, it goes into revitalization. And I'm talking about intentional revitalization. And it was like, boom, the lights went on. Both of those guys had started churches, Brian included. And he said, Chuck Lawless came into our church when he was a pastor, Brian said, at a five-year point and did a revitalization for us. He said, it put us at a new level. It weren't like we were dying. We were a new church.
No.
But at 5 years, you become institutionalized. Not necessarily fossilized, but you do things the same way. And he said it gave us the push. He ended up going there, staying at that church for 10 years, and I think it doubled again from the five-year point to the 10-year point. So Brian Autry's just a great one to tell us the story. It's not only about dying churches. It's about churches that just might need a little more revital. which is new life.
All right. The second misperception is that it's only related or totally related to demographics.
What is one of the things Mark Clifton tells us again and again?
It's a lot of things.
Yeah, but he talks about the vast majority. I don't remember.
77%, I think, of churches that died last year in our denomination, I think this is a stat, 77% are in areas of 100,000 people or more.
Yeah, we think
so that there are people there.
There are people there to reach. They're just not reaching them.
Yes.
That has been one of the most startling conversations. Now, I got to tell you, I also have a passion for the rural churches that I hope we'll pursue a little more vigorously in Revitalized Network in the future. But just because you're in a highly populated area doesn't mean that you're not possibly on death's door or even in a decline. Many times we think it's population related. And another thing, Spring Hill, Tennessee, where my church is, and you know it's in Spring Hill because it's called the Church at Spring Hill.
That's usually how that works.
Yep. Rapidly growing. One of the fastest growing areas in America right now. There are some churches that are dying in Spring Hill. There are some churches that are going and blowing in Spring Hill. It's not always related to the demographics, either the population density or to the growth of the population. Doing a consultation with the church right now and looking at the demographics and healthy church, but they've hit a wall. And they're the first to tell me, it's not demographics. We got plenty of people, and we got plenty of people still coming in. Help us define what the wall is. So it's not always about demographics, which tells us every single church should have demographics for their church. You can get it from us.
Yes.
At churchanswers.com/percept.
There you go.
And you can get it for us very inexpensive, and it tells you not only demographics, but psychographics as well. So that's not only the population trends of the community and the population reality, it's what the community thinks, wants, and feels as well. It's not always related to demographics.
Number three is that the next misconception is that churches that need revitalization have little or no money.
There have been a lot of rich churches that have died. There have been a lot of churches. I'm just thinking of some churches now that were to the point of death that they got acquired with several $100,000 still in the bank. Now, according to nonprofit law, if a nonprofit dies, it has to do something to a similar, give that money away to a similar organization. So if it dies completely and it's not acquired, then it probably has to give it to another church or to its denomination or something like that, its mission, one of the mission groups, it has to give it away. But many churches die with not only tens of thousands of dollars in the bank, but hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank. That might be reason, or at least one of the characteristics of these churches, is they hoard their money and they don't use it to try to reach their community. So I've seen churches that have no money in the bank, just enough to pay the bills, end up being very potent in the community. I've seen churches with a lot of money just be on death's throes in the community.
Yeah, it really just comes down to prioritizing those finances.
That's right. That's right.
Some churches, they prioritize every dollar in outreach and growth, and they may not have a lot of money, but they're doing well.
Yep. And I was in a conversation. I'm in so many conversations. I was in conversation with a pastor. We're talking about his budget. He's struggling with whether or not he should add a staff person.
Okay.
Growing church. Mm-hmm. His struggle is he does not want to stop giving additional funds to reach the community.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that a great story?
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah. He said, we've been increasing our pace of outreach into the community, and I fear if we get a staff member that $60,000, $70,000 package, whatever, that could be used to reach more people.
Mm.
So he wanted to know what he should do.
Yeah.
I told him, Jonathan and I say, it depends.
It depends.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, number four, the fourth misperception is that the primary need for revitalization is a new pastor.
Oh, how many times do I run into this reality?
New pastor is not the silver bullet.
Oh, and, you know, that's a tweet worth tweeting. The new pastor is not the silver bullet. Sam's been in conversation with the church in Florida, and the church in Florida keeps on saying they just barely keep hanging on. No, we don't need to be acquired. No, we'll be fine if we can just find a good young pastor, as the church is down to a handful of people. If we can just find a good young pastor. First of all, they're going to have trouble finding a good young pastor. And second of all, unless the attitude of the church changes, that good young pastor's not going to be able to lead them as well.
It ain't going to work. It don't matter.
So I hear the pastor thing being a magic bullet. I hear that issue again and again and again. And the reality of it is, I did a post not too long ago, Jonathan, on where have all the student pastors gone? Kind of got a lot of attention.
Took off, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. There were many churches. There's probably some still around that thought that was a magic bullet. Mm. We'll start reaching young people if we just get a good student pastor.
Yeah.
We get a good youth minister, we'll start reaching people.
Kids minister, those kind of things. We hear that constantly.
Yep. As if one person can reverse the attitude of the entire church.
Yeah.
So revitalization is not only about dying churches. It's not just related to demographics. It's not related to money. It's not the magic bullet of the new pastor. Attitudes have to change. Can I throw something out real quickly, Jonathan?
Do whatever you want.
I know, but it's
revitalize and replant with Tom Rainer.
I get that, and Mark Clifton and Jonathan Howe.
No, but your name's on the logo, so
is it really?
Yes,
I like that. I really do. Here's what I would recommend to many of your churches. I guess the best place to look at is churchhealthreport.com. Is that the best place to get the... Go to churchhealthreport.com. Didn't plan on saying this, but look at that resource and do that survey, do that church health survey for your church to see where the priorities are right now. See what the perceived health of your church is. Look at perception issues and see if there really is an attitude issue, because if there's an attitude issue that's negative, it's not going to change with a new pastor or more money or more people in the community. It's got to change with the people and the leadership.
Another misperception is that revitalization, the need for revitalization, is largely about music and worship style.
Yeah.
Paging the guru.
Yeah, Mike, we could. The guru, Harlan, come in here and talk to us. He would say worship is definitely important, but a worship style is not a magic bullet. And what we have heard more often than not in the last several years is, if we have a contemporary worship, we will grow.
Not the case.
Not the case.
No.
If that is the only issue, that might be helpful. But if there are other underlying issues, like we hate our community or we don't care for our community.
It's kind of harsh.
Yeah, I know. I softened it just a little bit. We don't care about groups in our church, other health issues. We don't have a good, solid plan of discipleship. I could go on and on and on. And then they say, well, if we just have a new worship style, everything will be better. And what happened? Here's the brief and too brief history of this. Many churches got into a rut into worship style. We called it traditional, but it was more rut.
Ooh.
And we began doing things because it's the way we've always done them. And there was a sense that you'd go to those churches and they were just going through the motions. And the reason you had that sense is because they were going through the motions. And as a result, we said, let's have a new worship style. Well, maybe what we needed in those churches was a new worship heart instead of a new worship style. What was happening is we were worshiping the way we were worshiping. We were worshiping the style. And so we said, let's change the style. Some of the churches were successful going to a new style because it was a major issue. But today, when you say if we just have a contemporary worship, or if we go back to traditional worship or anything of that nature, and that's going to revitalize our church, well, you're going to be wrong, Roy. It's just not going to work that way. It is not a singular issue by itself.
Yeah, and that seems to be the one area, other than the pastor, the one area that we hear so often that they pin the hopes on revitalization, the silver bullet, is the worship style.
Yeah.
That seems to, well, if we just had this, we'd get more young people. Look, the music's better somewhere else.
Yep.
No matter what you're doing, they're not coming for your music.
Right.
Because they can get better music probably somewhere else.
Yep.
And so it's not that, but at the same time, it's more about the attitude that you talked about.
Right.
The outward focus than the music style or the music, how good the music is.
Let me mention this. We're going to put it in our resources at the bottom of this podcast in our show notes. Find the book Worship Essentials by Mike Harlan. If you really want to know what is essential in worship, look at that book, and you're going to hear very little about style. You're going to hear about a lot of other issues other than just style. And Mike, we call him the guru, the worship guru. Mike, the worship guru, Harlan, is just one of the best in that area because he gets it. So get that book. And not too long ago, Jonathan, on the Rainer on Leadership, our sister podcast, we did a podcast on groups, open groups and closed groups. That'd be a great book to study in a closed group where you have a book to study. So I recommend that highly. In fact, I think I wrote the foreword to it. I liked it so much. You know, that guy used to say, I like the company so much, I bought the company.
Oh, well, yeah.
I like the book so much, I wrote the foreword to it.
Was it Remington?
I believe it was Remington, yeah.
So we looked that up.
Yes.
So, all right, and then the final misconception is that the denomination needs to provide a fix. How many times have we heard this?
If only our association would do this. If only our district would do this. If only our state convention would do this. If only Lifeway would do this. If only the North American Mission Board would do this.
Just send us more money. We need money.
Or yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, there is this unbelievable dependence mentality that thinks that something has to come from on high to have an effect on the grassroots church. No, most of the good resources that we have discovered emanated at the grassroots. For example, Pray and Go.
Mm-hmm.
Pray and Go is, have I ever told you how much I like that resource we did?
Yes, it has come up.
We'll put that one in the show notes too. If you think that we just sat around and said, oh, this would be a good resource. No, we watched churches do some form of Pray and Go before we ever created the resource. It's not about someone sending you something from the top down. This is about the grassroots up. And so don't say the denomination should do this. Don't say your district or your state convention or whatever your adjudicatory authority may be. Don't say that. Ask God what you can do where you are. Revitalization does not and should not be dependent upon the denomination. Certainly the denomination or whatever authority can help, but it's not all to it.
A lot of times what's funny about this is that the same people calling for the denomination needs to help us with this would be the same people complaining if the denomination walked in and said, you need to do this.
Oh, you can't tell us what to do.
It's the same people.
Yep. Yep. You can't tell us what to do, but can you give us something to do?
Yeah. Don't tell us what to do or how to help ourselves, but send us money.
Yep.
That's typically how it comes across.
Send us money or free resources. And it's pretty much the same thing. And again, that's just not the way it works. I hope these common misperceptions help us to understand what really matters in revitalization. Revitalization is just not about dying churches. It's not just how big your community is or how fast growing it is. It's not that how much money you have in the bank or don't have. It's not this new pastor is going to be the magic bullet. And by the way, I've heard many churches say that new pastor would be a magic bullet while they have a pastor. And they think that that is it. It's not about the music and worship style. And it's not about the denomination giving, providing, or giving the answers.
So, all right.
Those are the things that we need to remember. We also need to remember our deep gratitude to the North American Mission Board because they are our exclusive sponsor of Revitalize and Replant.
Biblical worship is the foundation for church revitalization. Biblical worship leads us to listen to Jesus, and in listening to him, he will reveal his plan for his church. The North American Mission Board is pleased to present a Revitalization Worship Summit August 26th and 27th at the North American Mission Board in Alpharetta, Georgia. Leading the summit will be Tom Rainer, Mike Harland, the director of Lifeway Worship, Jared Wilson from Midwestern Seminary, and musical guest Andrew Peterson. The summit will feature main conference sessions and specialized breakouts focused on the needs of churches in need of revitalization and those with limited resources for worship. Registration is limited to 300, so register early. The entire cost for this conference is only $35. To find out more and to register, visit churchreplanters.com.
Let me thank you again for being with us on episode 85. I continue to talk about and am greatly excited about Revitalize Network, the partnership we have with many different partners, but one of them, of course, is the North American Mission Board. And we'll be having an announcement soon coming about a partnership with an organization called Idea Day. So stay tuned for that. This is just another indicator that God is working in different parts of the nation, the world, different organizations to see his church come back with new life again and again. That is the purpose and that is the reason we do what we do. And that is why we have this podcast, Revitalize and Replant, so that we can see churches get healthier together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.